from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to rock!
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. It is a Saturday afternoon, and stand by for a second here. Still trying to get over the effects of this stupid COVID here. Desmond Howard just picked Oregon to win the national title. Man. Sure. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Take what you get. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, I think Oregon finishes fourth or fifth in the Big Ten, but you do you, Desmond. This Oregon being third in the nation, yeah, that's not happening. Not my world. I could think of three Big Ten teams that are better than Oregon right off the jump. But okay, you want them to win the national title, you go make that. I don't think they even make the playoffs, but we'll see. But that's what predictions are for, right? 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in and be part of the program here, we're talking about the Falcons. Did the Falcons miss an opportunity last night? Since Jacksonville played its starters for so long in the game, the question is, should the Falcons so much have played their starters in the preseason? To me, is, you know, when were they aware that Jacksonville was going to go on and do a full dress rehearsal? See, you don't want to play your starters against the third and fourth string team, right? You don't want to do that. And why wouldn't you want to do that, John? Because the third and fourth stringers, the practice squad guys, some of those guys, a lot of those guys that played for the Falcons last night are not going to even make the NFL. And so they have nothing to lose but to take somebody's head off, okay? I mean, nothing to lose but to take somebody's head off. And as a result, you run the risk. That's where you really run the risk. If you're playing ones against ones, the other guys know that they don't want to hurt you because you don't want to hurt them. I mean, they're going to play football. They're going to play hard. But they're also not out there to hurt you, and you're, you know, feeling no well that, you know, there's a respect level there in ones and ones where you're going to play hard, but you're not going to try and hurt somebody. Those guys that are just kind of out there trying, flying around, trying to make the NFL, they don't care if they hurt somebody. If it helps me make the team, I'll blow somebody's knee out. Doesn't matter to me. It'll be interesting to see. Kirk picked Oregon to win the national title too. Okay. Good luck with that one. I think Oregon's overrated, obviously. I like Dylan Gabriel. I don't know that he's going to. Okay. But it's just, it's fine. Everybody's got opinions and everybody's got takes here. I just don't see Oregon walking into the Big Ten in the first year and walking out as national champion. We'll find out. They have to play Ohio State in Eugene early in the season. We'll find out. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. I just found that interesting. We're waiting for kickoff between Florida State and Georgia Tech. So, but anyway, back to the Falcons. Did they realize, they may not have known, that Jacksonville was going to play its starters so deep into the first half, almost the entire first half? I wonder if they had known that or had been told that, would they have considered playing their starters, or were they just committed to not doing it And did they miss an opportunity of getting Kirk Cousins and knocking some of the rust off? Let's not forget that Kirk Cousins said he wanted to take some snaps of preseason. And there was all this chatter because there was video from the Falcons' official website and Twitter account of Kirk and Michael Penix in full uniform doing the whole walkthrough thing. They were warming up before the game, and I was wondering, okay, are they actually going to go ones-on-ones for just a little while here? And maybe Reem just didn't tell anybody that they were going to go ones-on-ones. Of course, it didn't happen, so how do you feel about that? If you're a Braves fan, are you just enjoying watching the sort of Braves, or are you still demanding that anything that if they don't make the playoffs, this will be a massive failure from this point on? I think, honestly, if they don't make the playoffs, it's not a massive failure because they're the sort of Braves. And so it just kind of is what it is. But if you do, that's fine. 404-726-0929. If you want to talk some college football on this first day of college football, that's great as well. And you can jump in and be part of the program here. Let's go to Charles. He's on with John. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Hey, John, hey, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
Hey, man. First thing I'm going to say, man, I love the morning shift, but I miss you and Hugh, man. I really miss that show. That was one of my favorite shows back in the day, so I'm a big fan. But listen.
I appreciate that. Well, you're here now, let's chat, you and I.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you had a couple of calls earlier before the break that were, you know, expressing their frustration with not seeing the first team. So listen, I want to just tell Atlanta, my fellow Falcons fans, let's calm down. Could they have played the starters? Yes, absolutely. Should they? Was there a demand or a need? I don't think so. And you pointed it out, too. You said, you know, we didn't play the starters for the majority of the preseason last year, and we won the first two games. So it wasn't like they came out of the gate with rust, per se. You know, like you said, we just had an incompetent quarterback. But what I look at this game, with Jacksonville starting those playing those starters, this was excellent. This was a front office game to make some determinations of who are we giving paychecks to, who are we solidifying on this 53-man roster. So I'll just say that, man, I think it was a wonderful opportunity. Yes, it was 31-0, but that gives some information, you know, who wasn't, you know, doing their job, who was messing up in their particular slots and their particular positions, and who do we need to, you know, send packing. So that, I think it was a wonderful opportunity. On the college football side, I just want to give a shout out to everybody take a look at what's going on in HBCU football this year. This is a great year. It's been a great couple of years for HBCU football, but you know, college football on the national stage doesn't really give them a spotlight too much, but I just want everybody to kind of take a look at what's going on. You know, you got a Howard University Bison right now on the call, as well as on the Bears team trying to make the roster, and they're coming off of back-to-back championships in the MEAC, and the SWAC is stacked. So just shout out to HBCU football. I'm excited for it to get going, and appreciate you taking my call.
I appreciate that as much. All right, 404-726-0929. Back to the Falcons here. It is interesting to note here, I think if we look at the three preseason games, you know, who kind of jumped out at you? Natron Brooks. Natron Brooks looked like he was going to be a part of this team. Kevin King. Kevin King looked like he's going to be part of this team. I was impressed with Jace McClellan. There were certain players that kind of took the opportunity to make a name for themselves and to, I mean, not that Kevin King, he just hadn't played in 3 years, wasn't a name, but, you know, to show that he still got some game here. So I think there were some good things to come out of the preseason in terms of, you know, Casey Washington, Chris Blair as a little bit of depth at wide receiver. So I think that there are some things that you can be real happy with here. And again, we'll see here. I still think the Falcons have a really good team. But keep that in mind. They're healthy and they're really good. Now, how long is it going to take them to gel? And they don't have much of a time to gel because, you know, those first three games. Now, the good news is in those first three games is that none of them are division games, okay? And only one's a conference game. The other two, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, are not conference games. They're not division games. So they count less. They still count. Don't get me wrong. They just count less division games count the most, conference games count second, and non-conference games against the AFC, for example, count even less. But one of the things that's true about the Falcons, just kind of historically, not this team, is that for whatever reason, they have really struggled in the last few years against AFC teams. So we'll see if they can kind of, you know, kind of course correct that right off the jump here. And they're still going to be favored going into the Pittsburgh game. If we're sitting around the Monday after the Pittsburgh game saying, hey, you know, the team didn't look like it's ready, that's going to be a problem. Let's go to Lee. He's on with John. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show. Hello, Lee.
Yes, huh? Yes, hello?
Hey, Lee.
Hello? Yes?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yep. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to tell you, yeah, I watched the games. I'm glad to hear your explanation, because I was thinking, well, I was shocked that they played their starting quarterback as much as they did. That was just really confusing to me. I don't know why they wanted to do that, but he didn't get hurt, so that was okay. But I thought that was awfully crazy to do that, but for them. But anyway, one quick thing. For your COVID, I'm a doctor. You need to get some Argentine silver at a health food store, and you'll get over this a lot faster.
Well, you know, I'm going to go see the doc tomorrow, Monday, so we'll see what he says. Argentine silver, I'll keep that in mind. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. And you know, I mind the Jacksonville Jaguars getting the first team reps there, you know, kind of a walkthrough. And I understand the decision to play Trevor Lawrence, not just because of first team, but because he's back in his hometown. And all those Cartersville Canes coming down to watch him play. I mean, interestingly enough, though, Cartersville High School itself was involved in it. I think they won, but last I saw they were winning big last night. But there was a big game for Cartersville High last night in Cartersville. So, you know, a lot of his Cartersville High fans probably were right at the high school game, I would imagine. Tim is on with us. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
What's going on, John?
Hey, Tim.
Doing all right, John?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, two things I want to point out. First of all, the last couple of weeks I've heard you go on the radio and say, well, you can't play him because the guys who are trying to make the team don't care and they'll hurt somebody. I disagree with a lot of what you say. I very rarely come on and say you're just wrong. In that case, you are 100% wrong. Those guys are professionals. Those guys are trying to make a team. Those guys aren't out to just hurt somebody just because. And when you say that kind of stuff, it's a red herring, and it's just plain wrong. It's just plain wrong. Those guys are trying to make the team, and if they go out there and they're reckless and they hurt somebody up from another team because of recklessness, their likelihood of making any team is nearly gone. That's the truth. The second point is whether or not you think the Falcons should have played their starters, whether or not they didn't. They started 2-0 last year. Last year they started 2-0 against two rookie quarterbacks, people who had no starts. This year, they don't have the luxury of starting out, of going into the season not ready to play at kickoff on opening day. They don't have that luxury this year. Because when that tackle lines up and T.J. Watt in front of him, if the timing with the combination block ain't there, T.J. Watt gonna knock Kirk Cousins out. That's the truth. And you don't get that timing in preseason. You don't get that timing in control scrimmages because they're controlled. You don't get that timing in 75% hit and lift. If somebody's not coming across that field trying to get you like they're doing in the game, you don't get that timing. And the Falcons don't have that timing. Maybe it'll hurt them. Maybe it won't. But I guarantee you, if they come across and that timing is a little off, Kirk Cousins is going to wish like all get out. Somebody would have been playing to be on time to catch that block.
Tim, why don't you tell the fans who your team is? Because I know.
Again, see, this is the other thing. Let me also add this. This is the other thing.
No. You don't get to add anything. I want you to answer my question. You don't get to add anything to answer my question. No, you don't get to add it. Tim, you don't get to add anything to
answer
my question. Bye, Tim. Shut him off. You do not get to come on my show. I will be nice unless you're going to be a Richard. Tim was just a Richard. Okay? I gave him plenty of room. Then I asked him a simple question that he refused. And you can't come on my show and be a Richard. I said, we can agree without being disagreeable, but don't be a Richard. And he was just a Richard. If I ask you this, because I was going to ask him a question about his team and whether he felt his team was ready, okay? Because I know who his team is, okay? And so you aren't a Falcons fan, but you want to come on here and start screaming about how the Falcons are doing things. If you do, if you're worried about somebody else's team, because you'll notice I'm not asking questions about what some other team is doing or not doing in the preseason, because that's their business. I'm only asking questions. I would never call up a station in Charlotte and say, what are the Carolina Panthers doing in the preseason? I don't care what the Carolina Panthers are doing in the preseason. Okay? And he misquoted me, and he misunderstood what I said, and all these kind of things. But he's going to come on here and tell all you Falcons fans how you ought to feel here. I want to hear from you Falcons fans. If you're a fan of another team, fine. Just, I need you to understand something. You're welcome here, but when you talk about our team, you need to do so with the understanding. That's why I was asking him who his team was. And then he was just going to try and shout me down. That's not going to be. That's Richard Boof. That's not going to happen. 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 90.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studio. Well, Florida State went straight down, took the opening kickoff, went straight down the field on Georgia Tech. And then not only punched it in, but punched in a two-point extra point on kind of a trick setup there. So 8-0 Florida State. Now Georgia Tech, with its first possession, is trying to answer right back. And this looks like it could be kind of a wide-open game. And the Jackets are inside the red zone on their first possession and going right down the field back on the Seminoles. So back and forth, these two may go in Ireland, and we'll keep our eyes on it throughout the day here. 404-726-0929, we're talking about the Falcons. And the Falcons' decision after Jacksonville played its starters for a good chunk of the first half yesterday not to play their starters ahead of the opener 2 weeks from tomorrow against Pittsburgh. We're also talking about the sort of Braves. And are you still have expectations? Because I guess I don't anymore. And so all of this is kind of gravy to me. The sort of Braves are sort of fun to watch now because in that win last night, it's like, ah, because everything is sort of unexpected now of this team here. 404-726-0929. Let's go to 7. Hey, 7, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, it's Kevin, but
Kevin.
Hey, man. Excuse my voice. I'm getting over COVID as well. But I wanted to give my opinion on the Falcons with the starters. I think that the whole scenario would be different if Kirk wasn't coming off such a major injury. I mean, I know you can't play scared, but you do have to try to play smart. And, you know, if we play Penix behind the backup line in the preseason and he gets hurt, and then the regular season starts and Kirk goes down, and then we don't have either guy. Can you imagine the narrative in the media after we pay a guy $200 million and then spend a first-round draft pick on another quarterback and end up with neither one of them?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess the argument against that is if you play scared, you play scared. And don't play scared. But I was just wondering again, you know, that's – Well, yeah, I know. I mean, because the number one issue is, again, the number one issue coming out, the single first check box you have to do is you've got to be healthy. I mean, that you come out of camp, the number one issue is you've got to be healthy. For a team that had lost, you know, it's interesting to me, Kevin, that they had lost, Braylon Trice, a rookie they were kind of counting on, DeMarco Helms, safety that they had been counting on. And yet, not only did they replace him, they were able to actually upgrade both those positions with Judon and Simmons. Those are upgrades. Those aren't replacements. Those are upgrades. I mean, if you just added Judon and Simmons, they would start ahead of Price and Helms all day on Sunday. And so
yeah,
you upgraded. But I agree with you because if you have that issue at quarterback, there's no upgrading.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. But, yeah, so I don't have a problem. I mean, if something happens and Penix has to play in the regular season, I would much rather him, you know, still be on the learning curve than for him to be, you know, on the IR as well. And, you know, then who have we got as a quarterback, you know?
No, look, that's the argument against it. This is the argument that Raheem made strongly, that we weren't going to risk, on exhibition games, players that were too critical to what we believe is fundamentally going to be a team that could challenge for big things this year. So, I mean, that was the decision he made. And I'm just asking the question. I think you can argue both sides of it. And, again, the start of the season, the first three games, as big as they are, thank you, Kevin, as big as they are, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and they're big games because two of them are on national TV. They're big games because you're playing three prominent franchises. And, you know, for the Philadelphia game is big because it's a game on the road, and if you could steal that game, it would be a long way to, you know, tiebreakers down the road here. But those three games are kind of like, in a way, preseason. I mean, in the sense that the most important games at the first beginning of the year are the games against the Swampers and the Bucks. And as long as you get to week three and you're ready to go, this team's going to, I think, be fine. Just don't be 0-3. That's all. That, you know, if they're 1-2, I think you're going to be okay. Just don't be 0-3. Thank you, Kevin. Do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Frank. Frank joins us this morning at 4. This afternoon. Morning show becomes an afternoon show. 404-726-0929. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man.
Yes, I mean, I sort of disagree. Like, I'm not going to say you're wrong, because two people can disagree and still be right. You know, it's just a matter of opinion. But I just disagree. Now, maybe, you know, Kirk Cousins, of course, not going to play him. But I have an issue with maybe the offensive line not being there. And the reason why I say that is you look at the past, the years under Arthur Smith, where he really didn't play these guys. And then from week one, I mean, the Falcons had a major issue with pre-snap penalties, guys holding. If you remember last year, I mean, Chris Lidstrom got off to a bad start before he finally started turning things around. I mean, to me, I think the offensive line could have used some more work, because as much credit as a lot of people try to give them, they do have a lot of pre-snap penalties, guys are off. I'm not worried about the quarterbacks. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a veteran, so, I mean, he's been in the league long enough, so I'm not worried about him.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out, Frank, here, what you're disagreeing with me on.
Well, I mean, I guess as far as, maybe resting guys and, you know, I guess, you know, people keep talking about, well, you know, you don't want guys to get hurt. And my thing is, if you can't last like maybe a quarter or two in the preseason, how are you going to last 17 NFL games. I mean,
right, well, when did I ever say that? Okay, but again, Frank, I'm trying to figure out when I said that. I said Michael Penix, yes. Michael Penix played in the preseason. You can shut him down now. We've seen enough. There's no reason to play him. I stand by that. I never said shut down the first team. I never said anything.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I misread because I probably tuned in late. I just heard a lot of people talking about, you know, not playing guys in the preseason. And
I was saying today, isn't it interesting that I thought, you know, maybe, see, again, I go back to, you know, the last night, right? Before the game, mm-hmm. There's Kirk Cousins, full uniform, they're doing the walkthrough, I get it. You know, if they had heard that Jacksonville was starting its first unit on offensive defense, I would have been tempted, if I'm Raheem Morris, to put my first unit out there. He chose not to. That's why I was asking the question. I think I would have. I would have said, all right, Kirk Cousins has said he wants to take a few snaps. As long as I'm playing the first D, the caller before, you know, the one that was the Richard caller, who just wanted to scream, who's not a Falcons fan, who just wants to scream because he's just angry at life. Was saying, you know, dumb things about, it doesn't matter that there's third or fourth string guys that they want to make. No, he does, because he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he doesn't. Those third and fourth string guys are the guys you got to worry about, because those third and fourth string guys will take another step in an effort to make the team. And they will try and take a quarterback out because they're trying to make a team. Not that they're trying to intentionally hurt somebody, but they're not going to be pulling up at all. You know, they're going 110% because they're trying to make the team. And he doesn't understand that. They obviously, he's never played football in his life, never tried to make a team, because it's always the guys that are trying to make the team that are the most dangerous in camp, because they're trying to do too much here to try to get the attention of the coaches in order to try to put something on film or stuff like that. So, but anyway, the point is that I was surprised, Frank, that they didn't take the opportunity to put the first unit out there on offense, not Jadonis Simmons, but the first unit on offense and defense for four or five snaps. You know, just for one series.
Yes, I'm surprised as well. And if that's the case, then yeah, you and I are in total agreement. Because like I said, outside of maybe Kirk Cousins, I would like to see Kirk Cousins out there. I mean, because a lot of people think he's not 100%. If you see him out there actually throwing the ball and doing stuff with the team, I think
he'll
leave
you
a lot
of that. Yeah, okay, I can put rest to that. He threw a ball that was tipped and picked the other day in practice and returned 70 yards. Kirk ran the guy down, okay? So he's fine. He's going to be good. He's 100%. Don't worry about that.
I believe you, man. So yeah, let's see what happens.
We're going to be good on that. Okay.
All right.
Off to the starters. Thanks, Frank. I do appreciate it. 404-726-0929. It looks like it's going to be a wild game in Dublin, where Florida State went the length of the field on its first possession. Georgia Tech turned around, went the length of the field on its first possession. And Florida State trying to counter right back here. It's 8-7, Florida State, midway through the first quarter in Dublin. Let's go to Roscoe. He's on with John. Hey, Roscoe, welcome to the show. Roscoe?
Here, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I was saying good afternoon, John. Long time listener of your show.
Sure.
I have a question and then a statement. The question is, what is the Richards team?
He's a Steelers fan.
He's a Steelers fan. Okay, good Lord. That was my question. My statement is, you don't get to call up the Falcons flagship station and whine about our team, and you're not even a Falcons fan. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Go sit down somewhere. I'm not worried about our Falcons. We have good personnel. We have good coaching coming in. We made all the moves that everybody has asked us to make as from a fan standpoint. And people are still whining. Why can't we give our team some good energy and a good frequency going into this season, knowing that we made these changes and we look good? Kirk Cousins doesn't need to play. Nobody needs to play this preseason.
I'm glad, because there's no chance that they're going to be able to do that now. we're sort of done.
Right.
Because the next time we will, the next snap that happens counts. The next snap is opening day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hope they're ready. I'm not overly concerned about it, but I guess, again, I think that Roscoe, the thing that's going to be interesting is if they don't, if there are issues, and there always are in the opening day, how much of those will be assigned to the fact that they didn't play in preseason, the first unit didn't play in preseason? I don't know. These are professionals. They know how to play football. It's just a matter of, you know, I mean, if there were, remember, the entire offensive line is back. It's the same group of guys. You know, and so, you know, it's not like, I mean, there's two new starters on offense. Two, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, and one of them happens to be a quarterback who's got all this experience. So I'm not overly concerned about, there's no rookies starting on offense, new rookies or anything. So I'm not overly concerned about their to handle it. They just have to play well. Roscoe, all they got to do is go out and play well. If you go out and play well, then everybody will, everybody would just... They won't be back on going, I was wrong. They played well. They won't say that.
I believe they're going to play
well. I do, too. I think they're going to play well. I can't wait for 2 weeks from tomorrow. I'm going to be all excited. 404-726-0929. I think the Braves are fun to watch now that they've become the sort of Braves to me. They're actually more fun to watch. And we're talking about whether or not you're panicked about the fact that the Falcons didn't play their ones in the preseason here ahead of the opener against the Steelers 2 weeks from tomorrow on Sports Radio 90 on the Game. On the Game. Do you know this song, by the way?
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars.
Are you familiar with this song at all? Huh?
I love this song, John.
Oh, okay. You know, one of the great anti-drug songs.
It really is.
Of all time. There are three great rock anthem anti-drug songs. That was Skynyrd, obviously. That Smell. And Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit, and Metallica's Master of Puppets. Those three are anti-drug anthems. And because sometimes people don't realize that they're, I think they think they're like pro-drug. No, they're anti-drug. they're very much, what the hell are you doing, you idiot, songs. 404-726-0929, if you want to be part of the program here. We're just discussing and having a lively discussion about whether or not the Falcons missed an opportunity last night when the Jacksonville Jaguars decided to trot out their number one offensive defensive plan for as long as they did, and whether or not the Falcons should have possibly mirrored that since all the first unit guys were suited up, ready to go, went through pregames and everything like that. Should Raheem have tossed him out there? I'm okay that he didn't, but some fans apparently really are upset about it, and if you are, that's fine. But if you're not a Falcons fan, you're upset about it. I'm not really sure why you're upset. Why do you care? But apparently there are at least a few fans that are not Falcons fans who are apparently really upset about the fact the Falcons, why are you worried about us? You worry about yourself. That's kind of what I think. James is with us. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hi, John.
How you doing? James?
Yeah, John, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. James?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, okay, talk.
John, I think the reason that the Falcons didn't play their starters is because, one, they're veterans, and the other reason, they didn't want to show Pittsburgh anything, knowing that Arthur Smith was there, and they're going to be using Bijan like Arthur Smith never used him, and all the other London and Kyle Pitts. So they did not want to show anything on film that Pittsburgh could prepare for.
Well, yeah, that would probably be a reason. You could have gone out there and played fairly bland vanilla and not showed them a whole lot, just in a few snaps. So, but to the degree that's something that you always want to hold close to the vest, sure, of course. I mean, there's a lot of talk in Pittsburgh about who's Pittsburgh. We don't know that Pittsburgh's starting quarterback is going to be. Justin Fields seems to think it's going to be him. I think it's probably going to be Russ. Now, Russ hasn't played in the preseason at all either, but Justin is chirping out there that he wants to be the starter for the Steelers. Well, we'll get into that as we get into game week here. But the real reason is I think we all understand is number one reason, of course, James's health. They want to go into the season healthy. They didn't want to risk anything. They didn't feel it was Raheem felt that he was at a point with the team, with the goodbye practices of Miami, with the scrimmages that they had gone through, that he's happy with where the team is at in terms of their ability, the ones to be able to produce and run the systems that he has, that he didn't feel it was necessary to go out there and risk anybody for something that's totally pointless. That was the number one reason, right? Yeah. But having been that the number one reason, how concerned are you that he didn't take the opportunity?
I'm not concerned at all because they're all veterans. Our entire defense is veterans and our entire offense is veterans. None of them are rookies. So they all know how to prepare for games and get ready to play.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely true, and I appreciate that, James, because it does bear out to repeat what James just said is accurate. There are no rookie starters on the Falcons, none. No rookies starting. They're all veterans. On offense, there are two new players, two new starters, quarterback and a wideout, but they're veterans, and the other nine are all returning starters. So I'm not concerned about the offense. On defense, most of the starters are returning, and the new guys that are in there are veterans, right? And they're going to be able to figure it out pretty quick. We've got 2 weeks of prep before the Pittsburgh game. Look at it this way, all right? See if I get everybody. Noel, can I ask you a question? Noel White is the executive producer, technical director, phone screener, and all around
you may, John,
good
what's
gal.
Going on?
Okay, so I want to ask you a question about the Pittsburgh game. Let's say, I want you to play a little scenario in your mind. Pittsburgh wins the coin flip. They elect to defer. They kick off to the Falcons, knock it through the back of the end zone in this stupid new kick or whatever. And the Falcons are going to start, or the Falcons running out to 25. I don't know how this thing is actually going to work in real games. Let's say the Falcons' first snap is first and 10 from their own 25, okay?
Okay.
They come out with Kirk Cousins, that offensive line, Drake, Kyle, Bijan, everything. And they decide that on first down they're going to run Bijan off the right side behind Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, okay? Do you think, Noel, that Kirk Cousins is going to be able to take the snap, hand the ball to Bijan, that Bijan's going to be able to run the ball to the right side, and that Lindstrom and McGarry are going to be able to block in order to, I'm not saying what the success of the play is going to be, but do you think they're going to be able to actually execute that kind of a play?
Yeah, that should be minimum 3-yard.
No, I don't. They haven't had a snap in preseason. How could they possibly execute it? No, that's the incorrect. They are not capable of taking a snap and executing a sprint draw to the right side behind McGarry. I don't know how. They haven't taken a snap in preseason. Haven't you been listening, Noel? Everybody's telling you they're not ready for the regular season. They can't possibly run a sprint draw with Bijan. That's not possible.
Well, I must be missing something, John.
Oh, man. What's the over-under on the amount of time it's going to take Kirk Cousins in this offense to, air quotes, work the rust out? Two plays? All right, we run it. Now we throw it. Okay, we good? All right, let's go.
Look, maybe a quarter, maybe.
Man, I think it's like two plays. I think they go out there and throw a couple of things and go, okay, we're good, let's go. I think they'll be fine. These guys are veterans. They've been doing it for their whole lives. You know? It's riding a bike, isn't it?
It should be. I mean, for what they're going to do at this point, we don't have a whole lot of rookies on here that have to make a whole lot of plays and impact. So, yeah, they should be ready to roll.
Kirk Cousins ran this offense or a version of this offense in Minnesota, okay? Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of Minnesota, somebody, again, I'm transparent. I know Kevin. I know his family. He was my quarterback when I was at San Diego State. A really good dude. Kevin O'Connell is from the Sean McVay tree. Now, the Sean McVay tree also happens to have Zach Robinson. The Sean McVay offense was influenced greatly by Raheem Morris, because Raheem Morris took the Atlanta Falcons offense of 2016, of which Jake Matthews was a part of, and took it with him to Los Angeles and was helping Sean McVay institute a version of that offense with the LA Rams. And that's the one that Raheem Morris brought back to Atlanta. So it's an offense that Kirk Cousins has run. It's an offense that Raheem Morris knows because they ran it in Atlanta. So it's not a hard offense to teach. You just have, and he says, they've got it. They've got this down. Okay, we're good. And if you don't trust Raheem in that, then okay, you don't trust Raheem in that. I put a lot of faith that Raheem knows what he's talking about and we'll be fine. But we can only see. We can only see when the first game comes. But do I trust that when Kirk Cousins drops back to throw his first pass and the route tree is going to be there? Yes. Is it timing? Sure. I mean, that kind of timing takes time. That's not the kind of timing, the kind of timing that Matt Ryan had with Julio Jones isn't something you're going to work out in practice or a couple of preseason. That's something they learned together for years, you know, years. It takes a long time to get that kind of, that's a special kind of timing between those two. 404-726-0929. That's not something you solve. Oh, he didn't play in the preseason. Okay. Mike is with us. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say the reason why they didn't play their starters is because all week long they knew the starters wasn't going to play. So, therefore, they prepared. They probably took half the snaps all week. And then if you put them in the game, they're not fully prepared mentally or physically. And then on the other hand, the other team knew they were going to start their team. So they're ready. So, and that's how you prevent injuries. You don't put nobody in there that's not physically and mentally ready.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. I can't know that. You can't know that. I think they've prepared this offense to play if need be. I mean, it's not like they haven't. I'm not kind of concerned about that part of it. I appreciate what you're saying, though, that if they didn't prepare them mentally, you run the risk. So, you know, I'll accept that as one of the reasons. But once they knew that Jacksonville was going to start their starters, I think they could have done whatever they chose to do in terms of making them mentally ready. Physically, they were ready. Mentally ready to go ahead and start the game. I agree with you, Mike, that you wouldn't have wanted to make that call 5 minutes before the game. Oh, wait, guys, let's go. No, you wouldn't want to do that. No, I agree with that part of it. Because your head's not in the game. So, you know, I'm prepared to go through all the motions but not play, and all of a sudden you're telling me I have to play, is probably not a formula for success. So I appreciate that, yes. Mike? I lose Mike? Ah. So Mike's not wrong in that regard. I would hope that they would have been ready to play. You would think that they would be physically ready to play, but, you know, mentally and emotionally, maybe, you know, that's the big key here, you know. And so he's not wrong in that regard. But I think that that was probably lesser a reason than they had made. That's lesser a reason. Protecting the team is lesser a reason. Okay, the real reason isn't that they weren't prepared or mentally, you know, certainly or physically ready and prepared to start the game. Protecting them from injury is a lesser reason. The real reason they did not play last night, so that we're all clear on this, is that Raheem Morris made a determination this team's ready to go. He saw it, and they had a scrimmage on Wednesday. Okay, if they had had a scrimmage, they had a full padded scrimmage on Wednesday, 11 on 11. If they had run 15 plays in that game, in that scrimmage, and said, okay, wait, all right, they could have, knowing Jacksonville was starting in starters, they could have shut the scrimmage down and said, look, we're actually going to send the ones out on Friday night because you guys got to get on the same page here. And so we're going to have to just take that kind of risk here and get you on the same. No, what happened was he goes to the scrimmage, he's watching the scrimmage because I'm looking at all the reports. And how do I know? Because I'm reading all the reports. And all the reports from the scrimmage say, yeah, we're good. They went into that scrimmage, they started clicking, they went, okay, we're good, we're ready to go. So the two things, right? One is preparation, the other is health. And they kind of go side by side. Now, health is obviously ahead of preparation because if you're not healthy, you can't prepare right. But still, they're side by side. And so he's looking at it saying, we're healthy and we're prepared, we're good. That's what he said. He said, we're healthy, we're prepared, we're good. Now, if Jacksonville felt that it wasn't healthy or prepared, they looked healthy and they looked prepared, but they decided to play him deep into the first half. But that's okay. That's their choice. There was no worry or concern from Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson that their offense wasn't going to be, and the defense is going to be fine. I mean, Simmons and Judon weren't playing anyway. We all know that. And so the defense is going to be fine. It's the offense that they want to make sure, because you have a new system, you're a new blocking schemes. It's going to look a lot like 2016, some new route trees. There's, you know, new new verbiage. There's a new cadence to the quarterback, to both quarterbacks. And so there's a lot of kind of newness on offense here, even though it's a veteran offense, there's still newness here, especially when you're putting in a new play caller, a new scheme, and a new quarterback. So there's some newness here. But when they saw the scrimmage, they said, okay, you know what? Everybody, the offensive line, we got this. The receiver's like, yeah, we got this. Everybody's fine. So at that point, if everybody's fine, then there is absolutely no reason to trot them out and risk anything, correct? Thank you. Yes, the answer to that would be yes. There's no reason. Oh, okay. What would be the point? Well, I don't know. So I think there's this mythical creature that says that snaps in a preseason game are worth more than snaps in a scrimmage, when in fact, they may not be. In most cases, they aren't. Because, again, if Michael Penix plays, you know, against Baltimore, he's playing against backups who are playing base defense, guys that aren't even going to be in the NFL. When he goes to that Wednesday scrimmage, he's playing live fire with the first unit, and he's playing against, you know, Simmons and John and Bates and Grady and Onyemata and Ellis and everybody else, and they're stunting and blitzing, and they're giving him looks, and he has to make the proper reads and the proper, you know, adjustments at the line against a top-flight, and it is a top-flight NFL defense. And he's getting far more out of that than playing against some guys that aren't even going to be in the league playing base. Does anybody follow that kind of logic or no? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.